Thrills. Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of Cheap Thrills. I'm your host, Etheria, and here's your top stories of the week. And now, here's your top stories in gaming. Welcome back, guys. I hope you've had a wonderful week. Let's just jump into it because there's a lot of things that's been everyone has been looking at Xbox really crazy. And I want to talk to you guys as adults. Or someone who's being held accountable and stuff like that. And the reason why Xbox has been dominating all game news is because they have shut down 4 studios. Okay? Arkane Austin. These are the people who made you remember what was that game? What the fuck did they make? Did they make Redfall? No. Developers of Redfall, Hi-Fi Rush, And y'all remember they just had this huge, like, you know, like saying, oh my God, we're happy that, you know, the people who made Hi-Fi Rush, they're going to make, they did really good because there was 4 million players at one point in time. That being said, now, it does, you know, some of the people, they said like this, Redfall developer Arkane will close with some members of the team joining other studios to work on projects across Bethesda. That Japanese company, the Tango Game, right, the one who did Hi-Fi Rush, yeah, they're pretty much gone. Alpha Dogs, they did Alpha Dogs 2. Oh, this is what Arkane Studio, when they announced this, they said, today it was announced that Arkane Austin will close and development will not continue on Redfall. See, can we talk like adults? I don't think that, It was a unique and brand new IP. What killed this game was the rollout. I thought that game was pushed out too fast. To everyone that has supported the team or our work over the years, thank you. Thank you for spending time in our world and making them your own. Arkane Line will continue their focus on immersive experience where they are hard at work at their upcoming projects. And sometimes that's all you need to do. And Redfall players who purchased the Hero Pass as part of the premium Back edition or the premium bite back upgrade will be eligible to receive the value of the upgrade. While we will have no further updates, Redfall servers will maintain online for players to enjoy. And then here go Tango. Today it was announced that Tango Gameworks will close. Thank you to everyone that explored the worlds we created, Hi-Fi Rush, along with Tango previous titles, will remain available and playable everywhere they are today. Now, a lot of people, you know, ran to their YouTube, as I am running here to the podcast, and it was like, man, this is fucked up. And yes, it is fucked up. It's fucked up what they're doing. I don't like it. I did not want Microsoft to acquire all of these goddamn studios. I really didn't. I expressed my concerns in previous podcasts, but it went through, and this is where we are right now. Now, that being said, I give Xbox a little bit of leniency because they putting their games on Game Pass day one. But it does not go without saying these companies are making games and they are developing studios and whatnot to make you a game. Not every game is going to be enjoyed by the masses. I'm not naive. I believe that. I will say this though. I see this from Xbox, and I see this from Sony players. Y'all have to start buying these games. The budgets for these games, Senua 2, that's coming up right in a couple of weeks, yeah? They have shown you a bit of development of this game. This game is rumored to be seven-hour long game. I'm looking at Xbox. I'm looking at, Team Ninja. I'm looking at all of them. And I'm saying, y'all need to learn how to be more efficient when you develop these games. Y'all have to be more efficient. I understand that this is going to be an audio visual game, as everyone is, but I'm talking about they are really going in on the audio part. Y'all have to buy these games. And furthermore, Xbox, I understand that you got Game Pass, but can we talk like adults here? You have to start giving games a discount. Especially when you know that they're going to be on Game Pass. Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to spend $70 on a game that I am already paying for a Game Pass. I'm not going to spend it. I don't care who you are. or what? I sure didn't do it for Starfield. Did I buy Starfield? I might have bought it. But still, on that level, if I could get it on Game Pass, but if you want me to buy the game, sell it to me for $40. Sell it to me for $35. And then I'll be like, okay, here, I'll buy this game. Otherwise, you might want to consider putting these games on other platforms. Now, it is unfortunate, again, that these studios are shutting down, but there are already rumors that they want to pass that bill to its players. They have spent so many billions of dollars to get these studios, and they're not going to front that bill. That is going to fall on the players, and they're going to try to increase the prices of Game Pass. I know they are. I don't know pretty much what more to say about this. I really don't. Because they are spending $200 to $300 million on these game developments. And I said this before, I'm a broken record right here. I have literally seen people who run to Twitch and put money down to watch that streamer play this said game. All the while, they're not gonna go buy that game. If I can watch a heavy-handed movie or cutscene game, and I can watch that game on YouTube without spending the $70, I'm going to do that. And that's just the way how life is right now. I think this is how I feel. If you want to get circled around all this shit, this is how I feel. I get that you want your streamers to get money. I want them to get money too. I do. But when it comes to these brand new games, I'm giving y'all at the very least 10 hours. 10 hours for the first 2 weeks. 10 hours as a limit. You can stream this game, but you only going to get 10 hours of this. Now that's different if someone bought the game. That's the double-edged sword, because if I bought this game and I wanted to stream this game, and I can stream this game because it's my game, they're going to have to work it out with some of the content creators as well. The content creators have to get online with this, because right now, as it stands, I am seriously worried about gaming. Whether it's on the consoles or whether it's on the PC. I am tired of these companies trying to catch this lightning in a bottle kind of shit. Make a solid game. Make a solid game. And the masses, I don't care what platform you love to play on, will come to this game and play it. And again, out of the three, I feel, and y'all can disagree with me, you really can, but that's why I think Nintendo stands out amongst all three for those same reasons. Nintendo makes games. They make games that have legs. They had a quarterly report. And these games, they plan to, it's like this right now. They sold 141 fucking million units, okay? The game says constantly kicking ass. Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, still number one. Still number one. The shit doesn't make sense to me. If you make a fucking game that is fun, that you don't need to be worried about whether or not if you're trying to catch a lightning in a bottle. Nintendo also told well in a text, the president said Nintendo will be having a direct in June. They're not going to talk about the Switch successor, but they are saying that it will be announced soon. It'll be announced soon. I think the problem, another problem is this. Sony and Microsoft are trying to outbeat each other to the race to the bottom. Or in this case, because I don't consider the PC the bottom, but their games systems, their consoles, are becoming too much like a PC to the point that you just might as well go get a fucking PC. If Microsoft or Sony was smart, if they were smart, they'll make it where you can have a system, but the video card can be swapped out, or the stuff like that can be swapped out, but it can still be like on a console level. At least that's what I would be trying to do. As a Nintendo fan, we're not over here worried about these goddamn games. We have too many to think about playing. But yeah, even though I'm over here, doesn't mean I'm not worried. Because I like my Sony console. I like Xbox. But I feel like this isn't there. These two consoles are not long. In this industry, and again, I can't stress this enough. Y'all gonna have to, I'm talking to the PlayStation and I'm talking to the Xbox fans. Y'all gonna have to start buying those games. Y'all have to. And I'm really pointing that to Sony fans. Y'all don't buy shit. Y'all are notorious for buying a fucking goddamn Call of Duty game. Y'all are notorious for buying a FIFA game or a sport game. Sony is spending far too much fucking money on either publishing these games, and y'all don't go out there and buy these games. There's no reason in hell, no reason in hell that Final Fantasy Rebirth at this moment shouldn't already have at least 10 million goddamn copies sold. At least. They're struggling. They can't even get past fucking 3. Y'all told them, we don't want you to have crossplay. We don't want to think about the PS4 no more. Well, this is the reason why they going back to the PS4. Shit, most people who got a PS4 go buy the game still. The PS5 got what? 60 people? 60 plus, 60 million people? And y'all not buying these games. I know it seems like I'm being all over the place and stuff like that, but it's just true. And again, I see that everyone is like, you know, coming at Xbox, and rightfully so. But y'all gotta understand, they spent all that money, they gotta get that money back. Those investors are looking for their money back. So they're consolidating because they want to make sure their tentpoles, whether it be a Fallout game, whether it be the Call of Duty game, whether it be the Elder Scrolls game, they have to put their money and their resources into these games now, because those are the ones that's making them the money. Shit, I'm telling you, the smartest people at the moment was GTA people. They went from 360 to the Xbox One to the Series. They covered three game generations. Three. And then to extend that, they put it online that is still thriving to this day. You can't hate on that. You can't. They took that money that they were making for PS5 and they decided to invest it into the online component. And that's how they're able to sustain the way that they do. All the while. Because honestly, I looked at the trailer and I've seen some of the gameplay, and honestly, honest to God, I don't think that there's going to be too much of a difference from 5 to 6. I really don't, artistic wise. I don't. Because the fact of it is that Grand Theft Auto has always been a story-driven game. And so some of those resources are going to be reused in 6. Sony done told three people that they said, come 2024, y'all ain't getting shit. Not from us. On Xbox side, they need to fire Phil Spencer. For what? For what? At least they're attempting to put games out. Do they need to control the narrative? Yeah. Was it fucked up that they went to those people's studios and, you know, did the high five and then the next fucking month they shut it down? That's fucked up. But it's the unfortunate part of buying these companies. I told them a long time ago, if you really want to fuck around and make a lot of money for them, I'm talking to Xbox. I said, put World of Warcraft on a console and watch it blow up. And watch it blow up. You'll have the PC version, and then you'll have the Xbox version. Okay, guys, and I guess right there, that's it for this part here. And those are your top stories in gaming. And now, here's your top stories in pop culture. Okay, last week, guys, we talked about Drake and we went through Drake and Kendrick Lamar. We went down some lyrics from Euphoria and stuff like that. Okay, I'm just gonna talk to y'all how this shit hit me. This is how this shit hit me. Okay. So Euphoria dropped, right? And after that, no. Okay. Now, after Euphoria dropped, and if I may be getting a little mixed up just off the top of my head, guys. All right. Then 6:16 dropped, right? And now, out of all the songs, from Kendrick, I like 6:16 in LA better than Euphoria. I thought that it was more direct. I thought that it was just like, you know, and I love that beat. But here's the thing. This is the shit that fucked me up about it. Cause as y'all know, Drake made that song talking about Taylor made me do it, right? With 6:16 in LA dropped, I was fucking shocked that the person who produced that game, I mean, produced that damn song was Taylor Swift fucking goddamn producer. I said, there's no way. Now, again, if I was in Drake's camp, somebody who cared about that man should have told him right then and there, man, you might want to leave this dude alone. You might want to leave this dude alone. Now, I believe it was that same day, if not the next day, Drake released Family Matters? He released Family Matters. Now, I don't follow Drake. Y'all know how I feel. You know how I feel. I don't like Drake. Not to say that he's not a good rapper. I think he is a wonderful rapper. But I never was going off of him. I took a break from social media. I didn't know about Family Matters until I heard Meet the Grams. Now, Kendrick is diabolical. Kendrick is diabolical. So the way how it goes is that Drake released Meet the Grams. Family Matters. And 45 fucking minutes later. He released, this is Kendrick, Meet the Grams. Not allowing Drake fans to even digest Family Matters. Now, 6:16, there was a picture of a glove, a Maybach glove. Meet the Gram, that picture was pulled back and it showed a lot of things about Drake, subliminal, and like, you know, it was a good photo. I listened to this song. I'm sure we all have. And we all had the same fucking, when he first, that beat came in, and when he said, "Dear Aubrey," I mean, not "Dear Aubrey," he said, "Dear Adonis." Aubrey was the fourth verse. And he addressed Drake's son and dedicated that whole verse to him. It was then at that moment. See, I always knew that Kendrick was a beast. I heard that and I said to myself, oh my fucking God. Like, it wasn't. I felt like this is something that, this is kitchen table talk, baby. That's what I felt like. This is kitchen table talk. Like, I think, and this is why this, to me, this particular track was so prolific for me. I think Kendrick pushed back the curtain of what really goes on. What really goes on in the rap industry and exposed a lot of people. But he addressed his son. Then he went on to address his mother and his father. And then he said that this man has a daughter that is 10 years old. Now, we don't know if this is the case. I mean, Drake went around here talking about that Kendrick Lamar was beating up on his wife. But we don't know that. And that Dave Free, his homie, this is Kendrick's homie, is the father of one of Kendrick's sons. But mind you, I listened to Family Matters after I listened to Meet the Grams, because again, I wasn't even trying to listen to Drake. Said this man had a 10-year-old baby somewhere. And then he addressed Drake. And called Drake out for every fucking thing that makes him who he is. I do believe that Drake is a colonizer as far as in the hip-hop game. And somebody, I believe it was Ebro, and they was making some points and stuff like that. They were making some points about Drake and whatnot. Drake is from Canada. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I will say this, though. I will say this. Down south, they have a unique style of rapping. The West Coast has a unique style of rapping. The East Coast has a unique style of rapping. I understand that Drake is Canadian and he came down here co-opting all different genres of music. And baby, let me say this again, ain't nothing wrong with that. Outside of Drake, what is the Canadian, I mean, I don't even think Drake is a Canadian sound. What is the Canadian sound? What is the Canadian sound? Rap sound. And let me say this. Say what the fuck y'all want to say. If I had to pin it on somebody, I would say it's The Weeknd. Because The Weeknd raps, yeah. I would say if a person was holding down that region rap scene, I would say it's The Weeknd. I never got that from Drake. And Kendrick systematically broke that down and called that man exactly what the fuck he is, which is, in layman's term, he's fake. He has no identity. But we're gonna come back to that. So then, Drake releases The Heart Part 6. And it... Did Not Like Us came out before before The Heart Part 6. And Not Like Us was a declaration of to Drake, you are not part of this culture that we call rap. And again, I do believe that there is a rap culture in Canada. I told the person who I think it is, and that's The Weeknd. I don't think Drake claims that, and that is trouble for everyone else. This man puts on so many accents to desperately try to fit in. When I could have told him, I said, dude, you have the skills. You can do this. You can make your own spin to this, but you're not going to do that because why do it when you can copy? And that, in my humble opinion, is where Drake fucks up at. And then he follows up with Kendrick just pointed out in Not Like Us, which is a banger, because he took what made Drake so unique and turned it on his head. See, Drake and Drake fans, they like shallow music. They just want something they can dance to, pop their ass to, drink in the bottles and stuff like that in the club. Kendrick gave you all that, all the while continuing to eviscerate this man and his character. That's what I appreciate with Kendrick. Black people are too quick to let people go to, as the saying go, to the cookout. Drake shouldn't have never been there in the first goddamn place. He should have never been there. And people are like, ooh, can Drake come back? Well, no. Because when he made the Heart Part 6, he was bowing out. That man literally sound defeated on that goddamn album. On that song. Sorry, on that song. He sound defeated. It's crazy. I don't understand how the fuck did y'all think that Drake was going to beat Kendrick in any battle. I can't understand that. That shit is mind-boggling to me. Y'all really thought that Kendrick was not going to beat Drake at his own game? Drake is cookie cutter. They got that, Kendrick got that man being called a pedophile. Probably gonna be called pedophile for the rest of this goddamn summer. And with that song, Not Like Us, you heard that on the news. Shit, one of the newscasters said that he was a raper. Talking about Drake. By mistake. He tripped over his words. On sports outlets, they are already playing Not Like Us. They're doing that now. He took Drake power and turned it on him. Drake, you should have never been here in the first motherfucking place. You should have never been here in the first goddamn place. You seen what The Weeknd did? Now, to Drake fans. I understand why y'all are pissed off. I get it. I do. Because you motherfucking, the lot of you were being called out. You don't like rap. You don't like hip hop. You don't. That's why they had people studying Euphoria, trying to decipher those entendres, because that's what hip hop is. That's what rap is. Yeah, you're gonna get some songs that you can dance to, but it's supposed to provoke a thought. It's supposed to propel you to learn, to appreciate a skill. Drake never offered y'all that. He never offered y'all that. Calling Drake a pedophile is the same as calling you lot posers. Y'all are posers. Y'all don't like hip hop. Y'all like how easy it is for you lot to exploit it. And again, it's not like I'm coming for her, but it's the truth. It's the truth. That's what I said about Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift is a wonderful writer, but Taylor Swift is marginal at best. Drake is marginal at best. I'm sorry. Drake is not TikTok. Drake is Fortnite. Drake is Fortnite. You know those little kids you be hearing on Fortnite? They be like, oh, this is cute. But again, outside of Fortnite, I don't hear none of those artists. I don't hear none of them. None of them. I want to thank Kendrick for making this past weekend wonderful. And giving food for thought, meaning that he changed the game. That man is not to be fucked with. I'm sorry, but he's not to be fucked with. respect his pen, and leave him alone. And Drake, two things I gotta talk about before I leave. Two things I gotta talk about. You talk about you planning shit. Nigga, who plans some shit about them dating underage girls? And then you talk about Mother Eye, this is in The Hard Part 6, where you deliberately make fun or make light of Kendrick supposedly getting molested. Like, you didn't... Mr. Morale and the High Steppers, this album was beautiful because Kendrick is a flawed human being, and he let the whole world in on his therapy session. I heard Mother Eye Sober, and I knew that Kendrick never got touched. How the fuck did you gather that? How did you gather that, Drake? He tells you he never did. Three times. You literally took that man's trauma and tried to make light of it for a fucking song. Not knowing what the fuck you talking about. No, I'm sorry. You are not part of that culture. You're not. And Kendrick exposed you for the fraud that you are. You and your fucking fans. For the fraud that you are. As the saying goes, you ain't got a lot of kicking. It's okay. It's perfectly all right to be true to yourself, Drake, and your fans. But what y'all not gonna do is y'all not gonna go into that realm and try to think of yourself as one of them when you're not. You're not. You are just as vapid and as shallow as his fucking songs. I'm talking about Drake's songs. They're all fucking shallow and vapid. They don't require critical thinking. So come off of it. I hope you lot sit the fuck down, and I hope you reevaluate how you look at hip hop. And come to the conclusion that I'm sure that everyone else did. It's okay if you are a poser, but you can just let the world know. You can just let the world know. And I think with that, I'm gonna close it out. And those are your top stories in pop culture. Well, guys, it looks like we've come to the end of another great episode here on Cheap Thrills. I've been your host, Etheria. And I look forward to chatting with you guys next week. If you'd like to write to us, you can contact us at cheapthrillspodcast01
cheapdealspodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter @cheapdealspodcast01.